Spindling Around on 96.1 The Hound.
I think my favorite thing about the Lexington and greater sort of Eastern Kentucky music scene is the kindness of the people who you might be intimidated to typically play with. It is very familial, and people are just really nice and welcoming to other people. People here really want other people to succeed.
Exactly, yeah. I've noticed that. Definitely. The mentorship game is huge.
Oh yeah, massive.
You're listening to Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 FM, The Hound. My name is Callista Case, and I'm so glad to be joined today in the studio by Ella Webster and Charlie Overman. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to talk to you about the John Prine tribute, which is coming up this week. But before that, I just wanted to wish you all a happy holidays. I know we're getting through the brunt of it now. Do you have any plans to celebrate with family? Are you staying in, watching some movies?
Actually, after we record this broadcast, I'm driving with my mom and the rest of my family to Flatwoods, where she's from.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be up there with my grandparents and cousins for the holidays.
That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I know you had a run-in with an uncle at a Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. Too. We had our holidays with my dad's side yesterday, and it was the morning after we had all been to a show at the Bell Theater, and he wanted to keep the party going, so to speak.
As you must always do.
Mm-hmm.
It can never end.
Yeah.
What about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I was just I was with my grandparents over the weekend. I went to see Ella play at the Bell Theater with Cole Chaney in Pineville, which is where my mom's side is from. And then so I was with them over the weekend. And, yeah, now just staying in town. My dad's side's coming to Lexington.
Nice.
Yeah,
just a chill Christmas.
Yeah.
Really great. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's sneaking up on us already.
I know.
I thought I had a couple more days to buy gifts and get ready for it, but
I'm so behind.
Who knows? Target's going to be my place to be in the next couple days. But thanks for coming on. I hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
You too.
Totally. Well, I just wanted to get us started because I know you all have been besties for the resties for a long, long time. And Colin has been involved too, my man.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get to know how you all became this dynamic duo. Y'all are legendary songwriters and musicians here in town.
Thank you.
I just love y'all. But yeah, how did you all get to know each other, and what drew you to each other as collaborators in the music scene here?
Well, we met through our friend Taylor Kendall, who had a rock band called Tony and the Chore Boys that we both played in at various times. And honestly, it was through his love of John Prine and Charlie's love of John Prine that we all started jamming, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I
remember being at a party at our friend Grant's house, and Taylor was there, and it was kind of just as I was getting to know him. And it was, I think, I started playing Clocks and Spoons, and then he knew all the words. And I was so just bewildered because that's not a super popular one of his, and I thought it was so cool that somebody else knew that song. And Ella was also at that party, and that's how we all got to jam.
In fact,
Prime
one of
Grand
the
Parsons,
first jams that we had, it might surprise you all to know that at this point, I was about 18, freshman at UK. Charlie had never sang in front of any of us before,
no
ever.
Way.
And one day he asked if he could show us something, and he sang this ballad completely a cappella, and we were all like, dude, are you kidding me? You have to start singing. And honestly, the rest is history.
Wow, that is wild.
Yeah.
It all starts in the jams. It really does.
It really
a lot of people, especially here in Lexington, I've noticed that the jam community is the core of it all. Truly.
Yeah. We have a very musical friend group, so we get to do a lot of that sort of thing.
Yeah. And Blakely is there, too. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't know you all knew John McGee.
Oh, yes.
I went to high school with him and, like, all of his brothers.
Oh, my
God. It's very wild.
Well, that's actually another way Ella and John have been together for
like 6 years.
That's
crazy. 6 years now.
Yeah. That's wild.
And one of the other things that happened around the time we all started hanging out was John had was doing this rock and roll project called The Clap, which there is an album out on Spotify and stuff. And I was going over to his house a lot to kind of help make that album and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also kind of, so we would all be over there kind of at different times
recording
for that, and then just other times randomly, casually for jams. And So that was also a big part of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's wild. John. Yeah. It's a small world. Yeah. It's, everyone's connected. It's like a big spider web. It truly is.
Yes.
Well, I guess we touched on it a little bit, but I love the Lexington music community because everyone is so friendly and down to earth with each other, and it's you got to know everyone to kind of be in it. Everyone mm-hmm. knows each other. So from being in the music scene here for quite a long time, what have you found is your favorite part of it all, especially having traveled across the country to perform in many other places?
I think my favorite thing about the Lexington and greater sort of Eastern Kentucky music scene mm-hmm. is the kindness of the people who you might be intimidated to typically play with. Like, people who are a lot older and who are sort of masters in their craft, especially with traditional bluegrass and mm-hmm. old-time music, I've had the complete experience of them just wanting to keep that scene alive, so they'll do things that are helpful and try to give younger people opportunities, and it is very familial, and people are just really nice and welcoming to other people, because you don't get that in all music scenes, and it's really the reason that people are able to get out and be on shows and have new opportunities and get heard by people.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I would echo that. I would echo what Ella said. And I don't have as much experience as Ella does with the old time scene in mm-hmm. Eastern Kentucky. That's something I've kind of gotten into through
yeah,
Ella.
You got like CJ.
But then crossover from Lexington and that scene. Two people who've helped me out a lot and my own projects have been Don Rogers, who is somebody who is kind of crossover from that Eastern Kentucky old time scene, and then also he played in a band in town for a long time called Green Jeans, which was kind of a jam rock type band, and then CJ Kane, who's been another big help to me. I've had a lot of older people from the scene and from the traditional scene in Eastern Kentucky to help me out and really be just big supporters and big helps for what I'm doing.
People here really want other people to succeed.
Exactly. Yeah. I've noticed that. Definitely. Mm-hmm. The mentorship game is huge.
Oh, yeah. Massive. Yeah.
And I mean, we are kind of like the great unifier of being in Kentucky because, I mean, we have to the east, there's Eastern Kentucky and all of that bluegrass old time music.
Yeah.
And then there's Nashville right below us. And then we have the big city, Chicago, New York above us. So it's everyone kind of comes together at this crossroads here.
Yes.
And you get such a wonderful conglomeration of cultures and backgrounds. And everyone's just willing to like put it in the pot and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I love it so much.
I need to mention Linda Jean Stokely, too.
Oh, and we're going to talk
also,
about her. We
yeah,
will.
She's also been a great help and was also one of those early crossovers of for me of kind of getting into songwriting and also the traditional thing.
Yeah, she's definitely like a musical big sister to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's one of my icons, for sure. Yeah. And Local Honeys is one of my favorites ever. But I guess that's a good transition into talking about your album, which is released earlier this year, which is really, really exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's one of the highlights of your year, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got some insane players. One of which who's maybe in the room right now.
Yes, Ella Webster plays fiddle
got to play
on
one song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. And the whole lineup is insane. I mean, you've got Linda Jean, and then you've got CJ, you've got Otto behind the board.
Uh-huh.
And many, many others on there, which makes a really, really wonderful album. And Linda Jean is actually my favorite song on that album, I do have to say.
Oh, yeah.
She's a fiery one. She really is.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to know, what was it like putting that together with all those wonderful people who you've spent many years with, growing up with and collaborating with?
It was great. And I don't know, I wouldn't have been near as happy with the end product if that specific group of people hadn't been involved, you know, just what Linda is a great person to have on as far as ideas with regard to arrangement and things. She's really great at that. And as is Otto Helmuth, who helped produce and engineer. And then CJ, Don Rogers, just everybody, man.
It's
you know, everybody just really helped me out. And everybody really pushed me and was behind me through the whole thing, which I really appreciated. You know, I said, too, like, early on, I was just going to make maybe, like, a four-song EP and was just going to have a small band on there made up of – it was just going to be a little bit more ragtag, I think, which would have been fine. But then CJ offered to get involved and really pushed me and really got behind me and was really supportive of what I was doing and told me that I should just make a full-length album.
Just go ahead and make it.
Yeah. You know, and that really just pushed me to – kind of buckle down and write, you know, and so, yeah, I couldn't have done it without all of them. And Ella, too. Ella has been a massive supporter of me and did an amazing job on fiddle on
as
the
always,
album. And,
you know.
Yeah. It's been, it's been great.
I can't imagine. I mean, being a musician, I'm a musician, too, and it's one of the hardest jobs in the world besides, like, I don't know, being a doctor or, like, a emergency service person. I like to say it's really hard. Yeah. But, I mean, it really takes a village to keep going sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when the goings get rough, there's nothing like having your buddies be like, just get up and do it.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of people's best work comes out. And I'm certain that that's what happened in this scenario, too.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You've been touring with some of that music, too. And I'm sure we'll hear more of that in the new year, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But moving on to Ella. Oh, my gosh. It's been insane.
It's been a really busy year.
I know. Yeah. You've been all over the place. Mm-hmm. And Cole Chaney, you've been touring with his band.
Yes.
Playing some fiddle all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I know you all met back in 2022. Mm-hmm. Is that right? After a show?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what drew you to him and how it all just kind of blew up into this wonderful thing?
Well, before I knew Cole or really even knew his music, I just knew that he was surrounded by these top bluegrass players in our area. There was a band called Wolfpen Branch that had some amazing musicians, and I knew Arthur Hancock, who is now in the duo Hancock and Shouse.
Wonderful. They were just on the show back in
August. Yeah, I saw that. They are just so great, him and Chris both. And I met Arthur that summer and then sort of met Cole a little bit because of him around the Burl, which is, I spent a lot of time at the Burl. We met because we jammed, and Charlie was actually a part of the jam before a flood relief show in August of 2022, I believe. I had never really seen him perform live. We played a bunch of bluegrass music together with Blakely and Cole and Charlie, and then he got up in front of this crowd of hundreds of people and played his original music, and I was completely blown away by the reaction that he had and also the way that those bluegrass players made his songs sound just over the top amazing.
They always do, those bluegrass players.
And I think that Cole and I can both, we both agree that playing with those people, because when I played fiddle for him, some of those guys were still playing with him, was such a cool learning experience, with both of us being sort of in our younger 20s, just to be mentored by people like Arthur and Chris Shouse, who really helped me come out of my shell as a performer with Cole on stage, because it was definitely the biggest crowds that I had ever played. And even Cole, too, has been very encouraging of me, you know, started having me sing with him on stage, and now it's a main part of my job as
well.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that is so exciting.
Yeah.
And is there a pretty big crossover between the band that he started out with and then the band that he has now?
Well, actually, there have been a ton of players come and go since I joined the band. It was for New Year's Eve of 2022. So in the last 2 years, we have had some people come and go who have been really amazing musicians and now have pretty much arrived at our full band, which is James Gooding on the drums, Kyle Kleinman on mandolin, Joel Murtaugh on bass, me on fiddle, and that is it, and Cole. I don't want to forget anyone, but those, we all fit together and work together on the road as such a unit and a family and sort of like roommates. It really couldn't get any better. I love them all so much. And they're great people to be on stage with.
I can't imagine.
So fun to play with them.
Yeah. Apart from just the incredible music that you get to play for hundreds of people across the country, what's been the most fulfilling part of touring with him for you?
Well, I have gotten to see a lot of America that I haven't normally, and you get to do it in such this unique way where you're sort of living out of a van that a lot of people like to talk about and sing about in songs, but to really live it is very eye-opening. And luckily, I actually really enjoy it. It can be weird sometimes, but also is one of the most special jobs I could possibly ask for. We've been to California twice this year in a van, and I loved being in Montana and Idaho and Washington State this past October. That was probably my favorite place.
That is such a beautiful part of the country.
It was amazing.
I bet it felt like almost famous. Driving through a van.
Oh my gosh.
The West.
Yeah, I showed most of them the movie Almost Famous, and we were all a little bit like, well, this is kind of what our lives are like.
In a way.
We
can imagine it.
In a way.
That's why I've always dreamed of having, like, well, to an extent, having, like, a microphone in a band's tour van.
Oh,
and, like,
gosh,
hearing all the conversations that go on in there. Because I bet it's just, like, the craziest bonding, the craziest experience, just, like, living with all these people and working with them day in and day out.
Yes.
But I bet it's just
wonderful. We are all extremely close.
Yeah.
And everyone is very much has sort of this like deranged meme humor, if you will.
Oh, no.
So there's like so many layers going on of seriousness and the opposite of seriousness on a day to day basis.
Get some Gen Z meme talk in
exactly.
there and inside jokes. It's horrible, but I am there with you. It's true. Well, I guess going along with that, I mean, you said some of it already, but what do you think has been the biggest challenge for you as a touring musician, especially one that is still writing on her own and still doing other projects like with Charlie?
It's hard to say because it's such a blessing of a job to have and not a ton of people get to have it. Health and sleep are probably the biggest things about touring that I have to maintain and be careful about. You know, I have to make sure that I am living a sustainable sort of lifestyle and being active and eating healthfully and not, you know, drinking maybe every time that we play a show, because to be working in a dive bar every night for a month, you know, you can easily slip into some habits of, you know, sedentariness.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably the biggest challenge about it all. You know, I have such good... you know, there's such good synthesis between all of the band members, though. So there's really no conflicts there, luckily, which is very rare and very special in a band. Yeah.
That synergy is very, very
synergy,
unique.
Yes,
synergy, yes. I just learned that word a couple weeks ago.
Good synergy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But that's wonderful. And I bet it's a good... Honestly, going into the new year, that's a good thing to reconsider. Is like, how can I still keep up this lifestyle... But, you know, still be a person and a human that functions.
Yes.
Because I'm an actor, too, and people tour bus and truck all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, how do I actually survive doing this? Because
it's
really fun playing a pretend on stage for a little bit. But then I have to, you know, take care of my body and not die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's always a challenge and a give and take that we'll never truly figure out. But
I'm young and I'm pretty new to this. And I learn new things every time we play a show or every time we go on tour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Major self-discovery journey on tour, I'm sure. Sounded like a wonderful year for both of you all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're closing it out with a wonderful show down at the Burl on the 27th. John Prine Tribute Show. It's the third annual. And, I mean, I don't have to say it, really. It goes without saying that John Prine is legendary songster who inspired The Hound itself and also many, if not all, of Americana and folk musicians across the country. We talked about it a little bit in the beginning, but do you have any... special feelings being a part of this wonderful event that's been going on for the past couple of years here at the Burl?
Yeah, I would say Prine is Prine was one of the reasons I think I first started singing because of Prine. I had that debut album that he did, that CD in my car, and just would always just it was just all I listened to
cranking
in my car all
yeah.
the time. And that was sort of how I learned to sing, was just like trying to sing along and mimic that.
Was John Prine your voice teacher? Wow.
Just sort of trying to sing along and mimic that was really just how I started to get into singing. And what got me into folk music and or folk songwriter music was Prine, really, was
totally.
The big one, yeah.
And also, I mean, just for both of you, with the storytelling aspect of his lyrics are so influential to both of you and to a lot of other musicians here in Lexington and in the greater Kentucky area. I mean, just the epic storytelling and it's the humor that goes along with it is just incredible and historic. Do you feel like it's inspired you in your own songwriting to... I mean, we can never be John Prine, but it's interesting to have a John Prine look on life and how we can put that into songs.
Definitely. I think that each of his songs are so unique, but they still evoke, like, this universal, deep feeling in everyone. You know, they are some of the saddest songs that I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the funniest songs that I've ever heard. But also his sort of stream of words, of stream of consciousness, is something that I do a lot in my songwriting. I think Charlie can agree. He does it a lot in his songwriting. To just include these specific details when you're describing things about the world in a clever way that people wouldn't normally think to do. It's the best.
Totally. Yeah. Rose-colored glasses. I need some John Prine-colored glasses. I can't even imagine. But that's going to be a really wonderful show, and we're going to hear a preview of that at the end of this set. And I'm really excited to get to hear that with my own two ears later this week. But going on into the new year, what do we have next for you all? Are you continuing touring with Cole next year?
Yes, we have some tours slated to open for Shane Smith and the Saints and Blackberry Smoke in the sort of early spring, late winter. And we also have some other projects set up that I can't necessarily get into now. But we have a couple festivals that I think are on the docket and are also looking towards doing even more of those tours because, you know, we've got something that works, and so we're going to continue to go
going.
With it. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And are we going to see any of your songwriting coming to a more of a spotlight next year?
Yeah, I was going to say that, speaking of projects, I have been very encouraged by Charlie and a lot of people around me and some people who have seen me play original music at shows who are asking to hear the original music in a recorded way.
That's awesome.
And so that is another thing that I plan on doing in the new year, if I have downtime especially.
Yeah,
now
definitely.
That I have like 8 or 9 songs that I perform, you know, I've got to get them off my chest and sort of solidified in a recording. Yeah, so
totally.
I'm planning on doing that.
That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. That'll be wonderful.
It is very exciting.
A good New Year's gift for everybody, for sure. And I know you've already got a full docket, kind of. You've got some stuff lined up in the new year.
Yeah, I've got there's a few festivals I'm doing that I don't think are announced yet. But then, and then there's a couple potential tours that I can't talk about yet, but I'm excited about, very excited about. And I've been talking to some people about that. And then starting work on a new album, but it's just still early stages.
Yeah, on to the next, I guess.
But I'm just trying to keep myself rolling.
The come down is hard.
I'm just
from
trying to.
An album.
Yes,
it's like we did it, and now we have to keep going and move on. It's wild.
Hopefully, Charlie will also be in the room when I'm recording and just be an ear and in a brain on all my music that he knows so well. And has even helped arrange.
Yeah.
I love LSB's song so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Really?
I love Charlie's album, too. This is exactly how you find someone who you can collaborate so much with.
Oh, yeah.
Just very mutual appreciation for each other's music. It's awesome.
And, and honestly, the best friends you can have are people that will admire you for everything that you bring, and then it's like a mirror almost.
It's
really beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, good luck in the new year, and I wish
you
all the best in your endeavors. And this is a little question just because I'm trying to figure out my own. What are some New Year's resolutions that you're looking forward to going into the new year?
Well, gosh, that was really, I guess, really to write more. I've slowed, I would say, to a pace of like one every 6 months or so, and I really want to start writing more, even if it's not always songs, to branch out into other things maybe. Like sometimes I enjoy just little bits of journaling or prose or things like that, and I guess that's the big thing, is just to continue working,
keep making
and keep creating. And to be more disciplined in working, I guess.
That's what we all say. That's all we can hope for as artists.
I guess that's mostly it.
Yeah.
Mine is also probably, as I was saying, to record an album of my originals that I have so far and take the ones that I've been performing live and I'm still performing live and just get them out into the world just so I can sort of reflect on all of the, you know, some, it's, there's just been so much growth. I used to be just a fiddle player and just allowing myself to fit in the roles and telling myself that, you know, sort of denying the imposter syndrome and that I can be a songwriter and I can be a singer.
Yeah,
to just get that album out in the world.
Totally. She's a multi-hyphenate. She is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've also been swimming laps at the Y.
No
so
way.
That's a big deal for me, too.
We'll be frequenting.
Yeah. Big resolution.
Shout out YMCA High Street. That's my favorite. It's like stuck in the the 80s. They haven't renovated it since then, but it's like a time capsule.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. But I'm a lap swimmer as well.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah,
thanks
thank
for
you, Callie.
Coming
thank
on to Fiddling Around.
Thank you
it's
so
always
much.
A pleasure. I'm excited to see you all later this week.
Yeah.
And I'm excited too.
Happy New Year. Don't go too crazy on New Year's Eve.
All right.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what comes next.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Fiddling Around on 96.1 FM The Hound, and here are some tunes.
This is called Clocks and Spoons. One, two, three, four. This is a song called Maureen Maureen by John Prine. Shot a doctor last night on the airplane. He said he wouldn't hurt us, but he got me real nervous and mean. He was fat and he stank. God knows that he drank more than we do. So I shot him in the first class and I bailed out and ran home to you. Don't believe me. I can tell by your smile. Honey, why don't you leave me? Get lost for a while, Maureen. Ain't necessarily the things that I say. I may have lied to myself, but I tried to tell God how I loved you. But even he don't answer his phone anymore when I pray. But she don't believe me. I can tell by your smile. Shot a doctor last night on the airplane. Said he wouldn't hurt us, but he got me real nervous and mean. Nervous and mean.
All right, this is a John Prine song called Souvenirs. Snow has turned to water. Christmas days have come and gone. Broken toys and faded colors are all that's left to linger on. I hate graveyards and old pawn shops, for they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they rob me of my childhood souvenirs. Memories that can't be bought, that can't be won at carnivals for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me. Broken hearts and dirty windows,
make life difficult to see. That's why last night and this morning always look the same to me. I hate reading old love letters, for they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they rob me of my sweetheart's souvenir. Memories that can't be bought, that can't be won at carnivals for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me.
We're going to play a song by Larry Webster called Interstate 75. It's a long way to Detroit, even longer back home. When a job in a factory ain't like my home. Well, it's concrete.
Trade General Motors for a season back there. Someday when I've made it, great riches are mine. I'll hit for the last time down 75.
Back home on Christmas, Thanksgiving Day too, I'll impress him with my new car and my $40 shoes. They can hear my heart crying from wanting to stay. So it's back
General Motors for a season back there. Someday when I've made it, great riches are mine. I'll hit for the last time down 75.
For a factory and lose.
season back there. Someday when I've made it, great riches are mine. I'll head for the last time down 75.
My name's Charlie Overman, and this song is called Caps. Caps had a basketball goal with some chain for a net, spray painted chrome and his stepdad Calvin, like the Jerry Springer Show, and owned several Playboy calendars. Well, Calvin had a heart attack 2 or 3 years ago, and he hung that tire swing that swung a little too low, and his dog Benny always slept outside in the cold. Nowadays, Cap smokes weed in the garage and goes to EKU, and he still wears camouflage, and he's working on his lats and his triceps, among some other things. And nowadays, I think a lot about the quilts on your bed and the cat hair on your ceiling fan and the brain in your head and the baby blue thong that you like to wear to bed with the big black t-shirt and the semi-painted red. Well, Caps is probably raving about the third time or the second time while he was playing for the Mountain Lions. He got himself a concussion, getting all sentimental and talking in his truck to his favorite distant cousin. And I yearn for those better times with you, like Caps yearns for high school football snaps and dodging sacks. But those beloved days have come to an end. Caps is getting fatter, and I'm at the Chevy Chase Inn. Yeah, man. And I'm doing dandy. What you do with the rest of your life is due in part to whom you choose to count on. You wasn't ready and neither was I to say if I'm a hill worth willing to die on.
You've been listening to Fiddlin' Around with me, Callie Case, on 96.1 FM The Hound. From the heart of the Bluegrass State to the Big Apple itself, I'm bringing the jam session to your airwaves with the latest and greatest in bluegrass, folk, and Americana. I'll see you next week with a new episode. Follow us on Instagram at fiddlinaround_. And as always, roll on.